Don't just watch the Draft Dog Pound. Join me in a Play the Draft contest with the Cleveland Browns. Play the Draft is free, easy-to-play fantasy game for the NFL Draft. Find an undervalued draft prospect for your chance to win big prizes, including being an in-studio guest here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Sign up now at ClevelandBrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl, and Bria, the phone's blowing up. Yes, Randy Gregory, I want to say, failed drug test at Nebraska January and April of 2014. Face being kicked off the team if he failed a third time. Did not. Fails at the combine. So that's three fails. He would enter in stage one of the NFL's drug testing program. Would I take him at 19? I still think I would. I'm a little bit of a gambler. If he's that good, if he was in the top five on my board and he's there for me at 19, I think I would take him. All right. Anyway,
out of your mind.
Out of my mind. 216-578-0850. Also, Mel Kiper Jr. doing his conference call right now. The Gribbs, Kevin Jones on with him. And he said for the Brandon Scherff, the offensive lineman from Iowa, possibility for the Browns at number 12. I don't see that happening. I would be shocked. He comes in to play right guard, right tackle. Again,
I'd rather have Randy Gregory at 12 than Brandon Scherff.
I would definitely. I would as well. I would as well. You mentioned wide receivers Jalen Strong and Brashad Perriman, who ran a blazing 4.2 at his combine at his pro day yesterday from University of Central Florida. He's a guy that I've liked a lot, and I thought that they could maybe get in the second round. After that time, I don't think it would be possible to do that now at this point. All right, 216-578-0850. Let's get things going here on CBD. Dan in Twinsburg. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener and first-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you.
So here's my thing. If the guy has already screwed up three times, he's admitted that he has a potential marijuana problem, and hopefully that's all it is. We've been down this road with Josh Gordon, and to be honest with you, the value of a player, the only way that a player is valuable or has value is if he's available. And he's not going to be available. If he's already entering in phase one, there's so many distractions and so many things that a guy's got to learn to get into the league anyways, to work on, to get better at. And then there's going to be millions of people pulling on him in a million different ways. There's going to be way too many distractions. Do you think that this is going to be the last time he slips up?
I don't know. To me, it's looking at a little bit of a lottery ticket. So the punishment for marijuana is this. So the first time the player lands in the program, he'd be entering in the program without a suspension. The second positive test is simply a 2-game fine. The next positive test would be a 4-game fine. So it's totally different now. He could fail 2 more tests without missing any time on the field.
Correct.
His next suspension would be a 4-game suspension. So you can get 3 tests without getting suspended now, which is not what was the case before.
God, it's so different now.
Totally different. So you're so this lenient. Is a guy who still has basically 3 more strikes before he'd miss a single game for your team.
And in some cases, and this is coming from the mentality of a player in the locker room, mind you, I get the fact that they continually screw up, okay? But in their mind, when it comes to themselves, their brand, and the team, that team doesn't really care whether they're getting paid or not based on the way that they perform on a given Sunday. If it's, again, and he made the great point, the best way to, you know, is being available. And essentially, it would take him three tests. The fourth test would essentially be the first, the fourth test would make him unavailable. So he would be participating actively in practice and actively in games every Sunday with multiple positive tests. And mind you, I get that it's wrong. I get that's not the culture that we have around here. That's not the guy that we want. But if he's going out there and sacking the quarterback 2 times, do you really care whether he's getting paid or not, or is if he's smoking weed?
Do you care in the locker room? Do you think, like, what would it make you think, you know, given, let's say you're in this locker room, you're building a winner, you've just endured Josh Gordon, Johnny's in rehab, and the team takes Randy Gregory at 19.
Here's what you say. What an idiot for this guy. You know, like, give sentiments right now. What an idiot. Or, and also, too, if at any point, if he knows he's in stage one and he knows what's at stake and it's, you know, 2-game suspension on a rookie contract is going to be, you know, maybe 50, 60 grand, you're going to go, what an idiot, but when he sits in the meeting room next to you and he's a part of that game plan, you're bought into the player that he's going to be that Sunday. And it's until he misses time on the football field as a teammate that you go, I can't work with this dude anymore. He deserves everything.
I just want to remind people of somebody that, and my friend Cleve TA just tweeted to me about it. I want to remind people as well that back in 1995, Warren Sapp should have been a top five pick based on talent. Multiple failed drug tests during the pre-draft process led to him falling to the Bucks at number 12 overall. Most teams, I'm pretty sure maybe all 11 teams picking ahead would have done it in a do-over. So again, I don't know if Gregory's going to be Warren Sapp, but he's universally regarded as a top 10 pick. To me, that says I'm willing to take that risk at 19. That's me. I don't know if the Browns are, but that's me.
Is he a top 10 pick because of a shortage of pass rushers?
No, he's been a guy. No, if he would have come out last year, he would have come. He would have been a top 10 pick. He's a dominant edge rusher. He's the fastest guy off the edge in the entire draft. Daniel Jeremiah just said that he is the best edge rusher in the whole draft. McShay's got him in as the number one edge rusher in the whole draft.
Being compared to Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes, in terms of just raw athletic ability.
Yeah, but what's Clowney done?
Okay. Had microfracture surgery.
He still was drafted number one overall. I mean, I agree with you. What has he done? He got injured, and now I don't know if he'll ever be the same. But my point is, if you would get two, you have two first-round picks. You want impact players. We all agreed on that, right? You have a chance to get a guy that you would have needed a much earlier pick had this not happened. And again, you know, the Warren Sapp one is certainly a very good example of that. So thanks to Cleve TA as well. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Dennis in Loudonville.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Smoke like a Brown. Is that our mantra for how I think we had enough negative press and whatnot for this. I wouldn't touch him. I can't. And if this is a possibility, why doesn't Johnny go ahead and recruit by his rehab?
I don't think you're allowed to do recruiting from rehab. I think it might be a violation of the tenets of rehab. 216-578-0850. I think it's an interesting discussion. The guy's that talented. Wouldn't you have wanted Warren Sapp on your team?
Yes.
I don't think the Buccaneers were ever sad they drafted Warren Sapp.
No. And the Raiders got a little bit out of him as well.
Gibbs, like, what would you at that point, if let's say it was Warren Sapp, you would say, I can't draft Warren Sapp?
I'm trying to remember how good or bad Tampa Bay was at that point.
Well, they were picking 12th in the draft in 1995.
Okay, well, here's our problem.
By the way, the Browns are picking 12th in the draft this year.
Yes, they are. However, you're picking 12th in the draft, and you're also picking 19th in the draft.
Right.
And last year, you had two first-round picks that the jury is still out on.
I think when you look at – you got to just focus on this year. You got to make the best decisions for this year. I don't think last year you can –
Okay, but I can't take a – great, that guy's got a lot of potential. Josh Gordon had a lot of potential. What's Josh Gordon doing right now? Probably smoking weed. Not saying he is or not, but there's a good chance, probably. I'm sorry. I can't bring in a guy with a history that admits it. That admits he has a problem, but isn't doing anything to fix the problem.
But also, too, is the parameters with which he's going to have to abide by entering the league in stage one are going to be stricter than any collegiate program can essentially be strict. So the pressure of losing money, the pressure of defeating
himself. But does that matter to him? You know, it didn't matter to Josh Gordon.
True.
True. True. It's an interesting topic, and I think it would be the locker room perspective on it would be interesting. Again, it's happened in the past. I'm saying if he fell to 19, this is a guy that's a consensus top 10 talent. If he fell to 19, I, Nathan Zagura, will pull the trigger. He's exactly what we need, an edge rusher. He's considered to be the best in the draft class, and he could be there for you at 19. All right, let's go to Mark in North Olmsted now. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
You got it, man.
Yeah. Can you guys hear yourselves? I mean, other than Gibbs there. I mean, we keep talking about what we don't know, but let's talk about what we do know.
Yes.
That this team has had one crisis after another continually blow up in their faces, and they've done as good a job as almost anybody being a new organization to handle them as they can. But I just think the credibility of the team itself, that perhaps if we had had a better track record, I mean, your track record, Nathan, does matter. Last year does matter. The perception of how
I still think it was a great draft last year.
And it may turn out that way, but what I'm talking about the things that we do know, and we do know that is still uncertain, and that this we just can't. Perhaps a different club could take a risk like this. The Cleveland Browns cannot afford to. It's just, I mean, everyone else, the availability is the only ability. That's all true and all that. To me, it's irregardless of the player. To me, it could be any player at this situation. The Cleveland Browns, unfortunately, if they were in a different spot, perhaps a little further down the road with some more positive experiences behind them, then perhaps we could do that. But today, the Cleveland Browns should not and cannot risk this.
All right. I'm not saying that they will. I'm saying Nathan Zagura, I would, because you know what this city needs? You know what makes all these things go away?
Wins.
And if that guy can help you win more football games, then I want him on my team. Bottom line.
Weed and all.
And the whole shebang. Listen, he's got two more chances in the NFL to fail test before he'd even miss a snap for me.
I hear you.
And this is a guy who has been called out now. He's embarrassed.
Sure.
Does it matter to him? That's what we'll find out.
Yes.
Didn't matter to Josh Gordon. It seems like it does, but, you know, who knows?
Has Nebraska had their pro day?
What?
Has Nebraska had their pro day?
Nebraska, I think it has had its
okay.
pro day. Yes.
I was just looking for one other opportunity since this news broke for a guy like Randy Gregory to get in front of some very influential, even position coaches, and have his side be said and get them to understand, you know, where he's at and things.
I would be surprised if the Browns took him, even if he's there at 19. I just say I think that he's worth it.
What about 43?
It depends where he's on. At 43, why not? Why not? Guy who's a top 10 player, why not? Listen, Vontaze Burfict didn't even get drafted because of all the concerns about him. We could go back and forth. You could say, well, this guy showed this is a warning signs and has been bad. There are plenty of guys in the NFL who had plenty of warning signs that turned out to be very, very good football players.
Yes.
So it's a matter of your understanding of them, your read on them, and that's where the psych evaluations
and
that stuff comes in.
Look at a guy like Greg Hardy, 15 sacks, and in some cases be exonerated from, you know, some type of domestic violence case, which is at the forefront of the NFL's mind, is now potentially has the opportunity to make $10-plus million with a new club.
Right. Right. If you can get it together.
If you can play.
You can play.
You can stay.
You can stay. All right, final ones. Go to our guy John in Dallas.
Hey, guys, regarding this clown, you can't fix stupid, so you can't you can't draft stupid. And Farmer can't risk with it. Well, this crap going on with Farmer right now, he can't risk taking this clown. And secondly, I want to ask you guys an honest question here. What would have happened? Just say, the Rams wanted our number two, our second rounder, for quarterback Bradford.
Uh huh.
And just say we lost that number two draft pick due to this text gate.
That's not happening. But go ahead.
No. But what would happen if say this week? Goodell comes out and says, we're taking a second and a fourth from the Browns. But just say we already traded that for just say any quarterback in the league.
I don't think they would be able to say that then because we wouldn't have a second round pick. So I don't know what they would do. But I don't think we're losing a second and a fourth anyway.
But do you guys think that's holding up the do you think the Browns under the table know what they're losing so that they couldn't have traded those picks?
It was reported yesterday that the Browns do know what they are losing, and it will become public next week. That the teams involved, the Browns, the Falcons, for example, they know what their punishments are, but that they will be reported next week.
I don't want to play this what-if game because,
what if
Randy Gregory is the next Von Miller? What would that do for your defense?
It would do a lot.
Yes.
It would do a lot. Listen.
What if?
The chances of him being drafted here, I would say, are very slim. Yeah. I'm just saying I would do it. And it sounds to me the fans would not want it.
No.
Not even interested in how good of a player he is. Not even interested. When we come back, the Gribbs joins us. Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer from ClevelandBrowns.com. We'll keep the phone calls rolling. You guys are fired up. 216-578-0850.